On this St. Patrick's Day, let's take a look back at the history of the Irish in Michigan, particularly in Detroit, where the Corktown neighborhood wears its Irish heritage with pride. Bill Loomis tracks the long history of the Irish in Detroit in his piece for the Detroit News, St. Patrick's Day and the Detroit Irish. And full disclosure here, my husband, Sean, has a part in Bill's story, as we shall hear in a bit. Good to have you with us, Bill.
Hi, Cindy.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. It seems certainly that Detroit has seen several waves of Irish immigrants, and we're going way, way back because right. Detroit was such a Catholic city, thanks to the French.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a big draw for a lot of Irish who were getting some pushback from Protestants on the East Coast. So the fact that Detroit had been Catholic for over 100 years by the time they were considering it was a big pull for them. There were Irish in Detroit. Detroit's parade and St. Patrick's celebration wasn't the biggest, but it was very early. 1808 was the first recording I found.
That is very, very early.
It really is.
Yes.
But there were Irish soldiers in Michigan for the British at Fort Detroit during the colonial days, as they call it. So it goes way back.
And these early immigrants, as you call them, are the pre-Great Famine. So they're
right.
pre-1840. So in this early part of the 19th century, were they pretty welcomed?
They were. Early on, sociologists, they divide up the immigration into five areas. And the first area they call the colonial period. A lot of them were well-educated. There was a percentage of them that were just common laborers, but many of them were not. They were from college, and they were professionals that came in.
And you describe some of the great characters who were
right.
who were part of that. And then came the Great Potato Famine in Ireland. That was about 1845 to 1852, mm-hmm. killing
right.
a million people in Ireland and then sending another million fleeing
yes.
to other countries. Detroit got a flood of Irish immigrants, but
right.
how were they different from that pre-famine wave?
Here you had people that were close to peasantry, and they were coming over mainly as laborers, and they were in terrible shape. That was hard to read. A lot of newspaper articles about what they were going through, not only over in Ireland, but in the what they call the coffin ships coming back to America. It was just a mass exodus, you know. So there was a lot of resistance locally. There were people local, and that wasn't just in Detroit, but across the country, who were a little fearful of the thousands that were coming over, who were Catholic. A lot of them thought that, well, they were going to answer just to the priests and to the Catholic Church. They're not going to follow our Republican traditions, you know, democracy. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that kind of just fear of strangers as well.
The no Irish need apply.
Exactly.
Very.
Exactly.
But that finally began to soften as the people moved
yeah.
up, the immigrants began to like move up the economic and social scale?
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of coverage of that in the newspapers at the time. But still, they had the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. They had the parades. There were French Detroiters and Germans who went to the parades and even Polish that marched in the parades. Irish people went to German celebrations. I think it could be exaggerated a bit if you read just the politics of the times.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly in your piece for the Detroit News show us how Irish leaders came to Detroit to speak to the community.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Parnell, Charles Stewart Parnell was over. This was during the second famine in the 1880s. And they came to raise money. There was a lot of money raising that went on in Detroit with these celebrations as well. It wasn't all just for fun. Many times it was to raise money to help people overseas.
And that continued, you said, even in 1947, the famous
yeah.
the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, Éamon de Valera,
mm-hmm.
came to Detroit.
Right, exactly. He marched in Detroit. There was a mayor of Dublin that came to Detroit, Daniel Tillon, not a real well-known mm-hmm. mayor, but he was over here. Even the poet Yeats and the Lady Gregory were over in 1914.
And, of course, by all this time, that Corktown neighborhood was well-established, right?
Yeah, it was first the Irish section. As soon as Holy Trinity, the brick church, was built and consecrated in 1866, then it became seriously Irish, the section. I'm not sure when it was dubbed Corktown, but there are early maps of it showing it as Corktown not long after that.
So many immigrants from County Cork.
Yeah.
Which brings us to a story you tell of a brand new immigrant to Detroit who arrived February 29th, 1976 from Cork City. And that's my husband, Sean.
Uh-huh.
What struck you about the way when he arrived that he viewed the way America celebrated St. Patrick's Day in the Irish?
He was in sort of a state of shock. He was a young fellow in his 20s, I guess, or maybe younger. And, you know, the American version of a lot of these celebrations, not just Irish, but also Day of the Dead and some of these, ends to be more fun than serious. You know, as he said, that's perfectly fine. As soon as he got acquainted with it, it was okay. But at first, there were, you know, Lucky Charms and Shamrock Shakes and those Highland Appliance ads. I even remember those things.
Corny dancing.
They were pretty horrible. So I can imagine the shock he suffered. He was pretty stunned, but once he got used to the pace of it and the whole thing, that was cute.
It took some years, and yeah, now he's a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and he actually marches in the parade as well.
That's great.
But it was much more political then,
well,
too.
That was
something that was very jarring to him.
Yeah, absolutely. That was another thing that he mentioned, that in the 1970s and 1980s, the politics were right up front
because the troubles in Northern Ireland were roaring.
Exactly, and so it became a political as much as anything parade. This is also the case in the 19th century. Many, many times politics overcame
good cheer.
The good cheer and the fun. So that's not something new. But for Sean, here's somebody actually from Cork. Oh, let's get him up there, and he can carry the biggest banner of all. So that's kind of what was thrust on him.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit dismayed because over there to do that would be to risk retribution and all sorts of things. So it wasn't something you did.
You kept your views to yourself.
Yes, you did.
You did.
Probably that was the way to go.
Well, we will say today's celebrations are a lot less political because those raging tensions in Northern Ireland eased largely because of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. So it's back to the parade and the celebration of culture and more fun. And I think River Dance had a big part of that in the Lord of the Dance, because it became – people started looking at those dancers and went, wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that was traditional Irish step dancing. So you kind of got people – reacquainted with Irish culture and music.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it gave it another boost, and it was another side of Ireland that we had never seen.
Indeed. And your own grandmother, you say, came from Mayo.
She did. She was over, her house is now underneath the MGM Casino, but that's where she was, the Murneys.
There you go. Well, it was an interesting piece, Bill Loomis's piece for the Detroit News, St. Patrick's Day and the Detroit Irish. Bill, thanks so much.
You bet.